Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity and the freedom to gather together in your name to praise you, worship you, give you the glory, because you're the one that deserves it. And I just pray your Holy Spirit lead us through this new year, that we keep our hearts and our minds focused on you. And we pray that tonight you open our hearts and minds to hear your word and to receive what you have for us tonight. In the mighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to be a little bit cliche, and, you know, being that it's New Year's, the title I put for tonight's message is New Year's Resolutions, you know, in kind of a question. And I'm kind of curious, how many have made New Year's resolutions? Anybody? Okay. How many have already broken those resolutions? You know, you don't need to raise your hands, but I know back when I used to make resolutions, they didn't last very long. And that brought up the question to me, why do we bother making New Year's resolutions in the first place if we're just going to end up breaking it anyhow? Why do we make resolutions? Yes, I do think sometimes they work. It gets more positive. Wow, it's convicting, huh? I must be going down a little road of truth here somewhere. No, resolutions can be a good thing, but they're hard to keep. I'll put it that way. You know, and why do we make resolutions? Why on the first of the year is that the thing that we always think of? Starting new. We're starting new. We want to improve ourselves. We want to make ourselves better. What do I need to do to change to make myself better? You know, we want to stop doing things that are bad or things that are nasty or habits that are unhealthy for us. And we're trying to make ourselves a little bit better, and we kind of set January 1st as that good starting point to maybe change and maybe, you know, go where we know we should go. Maybe we want to be more dedicated in a relationship. Do you have something, Javier? Oh, okay. You know, we want to get rid of bad habits, get rid of unhealthy things, maybe addictions that we have. Maybe we look at this as a goal to maybe start. Maybe it's our relationship with the Lord. Maybe we want to be more dedicated, spend more time in prayer, spend more time in worship or devotions or reading the Bible. And we set a goal, like a resolution is like a goal that you set for yourself that you want to accomplish. Did anybody, I watched the New Year's thing, the Dick Clark New York City thing, to watch the ball fall for bringing in the new year. And I couldn't help but notice how many commercials were for Planet Fitness and gyms. And everybody in the front row all had Planet Fitness. Why is that? Because 90% of the business of the gyms people make on January 1st as a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to make myself healthier. I'm going to get better. So they were advertising. I couldn't believe how many commercials were on there. And, you know, Brett, I did make one resolution a long time ago, and I've been able to keep it to this day, I can proudly say. Yep, it does work. And my resolution was to never join a gym again. Because, not because it's unhealthy, because I think gyms are a good thing, and if you use it for the right way, it's really good and it's really healthy for you. But trying to get out of that contract or that membership can just be a nightmare. So I decided at that time that was my resolution, and I've been able to keep that one. And it's not because Jim... Well, yeah, as you can see, I really don't need the membership anyway, right? Okay, Javier. You know, we make resolutions in that because we are obsessed with taking care of our bodies. And why do we do that? Why are we so obsessed with taking care of our bodies? Any thought? That's right. Want to be healthy and live longer? Yeah, you're stealing my thunder. But yes, David, thank you. Also, we only have one. You mess that one up, you don't get a second one. You know, and it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, and David already touched on this. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's another reason you take care of it. It doesn't belong to you. We need to take care of our bodies because we're just stewards of what God has given us. And we need to take care of what God has given us. And how did God give us that body? He purchased it. Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to purchase our bodies. So he belongs to him. He paid the price. You glorify God when you take care of your body. That's what it said there. You take care of yourself. You're bringing glory to God. That sounds like a pretty good reason to take care of myself. Give him the glory because look what he's done for us. Your body will take care of you as long as you take care of it. Think about that. I think we all like to make New Year's resolutions because we know that we need to do things to take care of ourselves. We know that. But we tend to put it off. Maybe because it's too hard, or maybe because we're just lazy. Or my favorite excuse that I always use, I don't have time. And the more I think about that excuse, the more I realize, if I want to watch a football game, I have time. You know, if there's things I really want to do, I have time. So, you know, maybe I need to reprioritize. It's funny that we seem to always have times for the things we really want to do, but maybe not the things we need to do. Sometimes doing the right thing is just too hard. We tend to want to take the easiest way out, the path of less resistance. You know, in our flesh, we are weak, and we give in to our sinful nature. That's just part of who we are. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 to 20, and I'm going to do the NIV version because the New King James version was a little bit confusing. And this is kind of a tongue twister that Paul has that trips me up a lot. But Paul said, "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, that's what I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. For it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that who does it." In our hearts, we know what the best thing for us is. We know the best path to take. We know what is the good thing to do. We know what is best. But what do we do?
Carry around fleshly bodies.
Yeah, we carry around fleshly bodies and we give in to the flesh because it's easier. And sometimes our flesh nature just takes over. Jesus, talking to his disciples on the Mount of Olives before he was arrested, was talking to Peter, John, and James. And in Matthew 26:41, you don't have this one, He said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. And then he said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, he does have it. Oh, I did give it to you. All right. Yeah. So Jesus himself said, we're weak. We can't do it in our own flesh. Giving into our flesh is our natural way. But watch and pray. He says, through prayer, the Holy Spirit will give us the strength. He will be the one, because our flesh is weak, but he is strong. The Spirit is strong. And with the Holy Spirit, we can overcome and be strong. Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit will give us the strength. They're dwelling within us when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And Jesus, he's always going to have us do what's best. He's not going to have us do something that's going to harm us or hurt us. If we listen to him and listen to the Holy Spirit and follow their guidance, it'll always be what's best. Look at what the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 11. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. What does that mean? To give in to your flesh, to submit to the flesh, to submit to the sin, to always be thinking of the worldly things and try to get along with the world. That's being carnally minded, not spiritually minded. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. If you're listening to the earth and to the culture and to yourself, that's carnally minded. That leads to death. But listening to the Holy Spirit leads to life. So being carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Did you catch that? You're in the Spirit if the Spirit of God dwells in you. And that Spirit dwells in you when you accept Jesus as your Savior and accept him. And you believe the gospel. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body... And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's where the life comes from, is from the Holy Spirit that God has given us and put in us. That make sense? So that's where our power comes from. It comes from the Spirit of Christ dwelling in us. And did you catch in the verse there? Not only does it bring life, but it brings peace. You know, in today's world, it's real easy to be confused or anxious or get depressed. And, you know, depression is a huge thing in the country today, and anxiety. And with the Spirit, Jesus tells us it brings peace. It'll bring that, that relaxing moment where you know everything is on him and he's taking care of everything. Paul was dealing with a thorn in his flesh. For a long time, it really bothered him and annoyed him. And three times he kept asking the Lord, Lord, can you take this thorn away from me? It's really hindering my work, and I can't do what I need to do for you because this is getting in the way. And the Lord's response was, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So through our weakness, the power and the might of the Lord is made strong. And as we're weak and we're struggling through different difficulties and persecutions or just trials and struggling with the flesh trying to run our lives instead of giving into the Spirit, and when we accept the Spirit and get that strength, the devil has to flee. And all that anxiety and depression has to leave. Paul even said, I boast in my infirmities. I'm going to brag about how my ailments and what things are going wrong with me, because then I can brag about how the Lord has taken care of me and the Lord's taken care of it. And through my weakness, he's made strong. He goes, so I'm going to brag about that, because I'm going to brag about how weak I am, because as people see me struggling and getting through these things, they're going to see the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's going to bring glory to him. And as we take care of our bodies and make that resolution and we keep those and we do take care of ourselves and we do keep that gym membership or use the gym and all that, we're bringing glory to God, like our earlier scripture said. Our body's the temple of God, and as we take care of it, we bring glory to God. It's the power of Christ, and we need to rely on him. Weston talked about on Sunday in his message, he was talking about trying to rely and do things within our own power in Philippians. And he was talking about how we can't do that. We can't do it on our own power, but we can do it through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. It's not by our own strength or abilities. Does anybody remember what Philippians 4:13 said? I'm probably stealing some of Weston's thunder, because that's probably one of the scriptures he's going to cover this Sunday, because we're in the end of Philippians right now. Amen. Good, David. That's it. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in the context of that scripture, he didn't mean you can do everything and all that. Paul was talking about when I'm hungry or when I'm well-fed, when I'm poor or when I'm rich, or in all circumstances, no matter what the situation, I can rely on Christ, his strength. I'll be satisfied and content no matter what condition I'm in, whether I'm poor, whether I'm rich, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm well-fed, whether I'm whatever situation we're in, if we rely on Christ, we're always in the best possible place. In every situation, as we strive to do what is best, we need to rely on the power of Christ. Because what did our scripture say earlier? Our sinful nature wants to take over. And if we're relying on ourselves, we're going to default to that setting, more or less, using today's computer analogy or Wi-Fi or online, social media, our default action is the sinful nature. But if we rely on Christ, download him into our app, we're all set. Jesus promised never to leave us or forsake us. So why do we make these resolutions on January 1st? Why do we only make them on January 1st? Why is January 1st the day that we say, oh, I need to make it? Why don't we do it every day? New Year's resolution. It's a good starting point. It's a reminder of a place to start. I guess it's a place to start a goal. But go ahead. A new beginning, yes. But shouldn't we desire to do this every day? Why should we wait just for January 1st?
Bring them before the Lord, then we're going to end up becoming more holy and being righteous, even positive.
Yes.
I was trying to think about New Year's resolutions. I mean, you did ask, and I don't know if anybody raised their hand, but I made them in the past, but it was the ones that I made were about trying to read the Bible, and had to start on the, couldn't start, you know, the 28th of December, I was gearing up, I'm gonna start reading, you know, it's so weird, but that, so I kind of do it on a different day, just because I'm rebellious anyway, but it's interesting, because you get a lot of those things coming your way, I don't know, maybe nobody else does, but I get the ones where, okay, we're gonna start, so it's really kind of promoted, you know, even within the Christian community, you know, to, You know, we're gonna start on January, we're gonna start reading the, you know, it's like a new
Yeah, everything's brand new and starting over.
And so it's kind of cool. I mean, I was kind of wondering why we celebrate the new year, so, you know, why is, you know, not, because I look at birthdays as being real important. So it's a new, you know, like you're starting your new year for a person, but I don't know why.
And I think also, too, it's a date where we can look forward to like you said, prepare and strive to say, okay, I'm going to make myself better, and this is when I'm going to start. Because then when you hit that date, it's kind of like, okay, it's in your face now. Now I'm going to. No, I. Yeah, Brett.
Well, also, building up to the holidays is like a season of eating and slothfulness anyway for most.
Yeah, there you go.
And so it's like, you tell yourself, I don't want to be like this forever. I need to make a change. So, hey, first, let's get back to it again.
Yeah.
So you got a target.
It's a target. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and just a target date. Because we can't live like this.
And like we said, resolutions can be really good things. They're just really hard to keep sometimes. And sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're easy. And but when we're mindful of things. That's when we should start striving to improve and do things, not wait for a date somewhere on the calendar. You know, when things come to mind now, yeah, maybe it's not a bad idea if I start trying to do that. And for me, I know I've struggled with lots of things. I say, okay, I need to do that, and I don't do it. And okay, maybe next week I'll try this or I'll try that. And just one failure after another. But you know, living the Christian life and following Christ really does make things easier. When you start your morning each day with a devotion and time with the Lord, it just kind of sets the right tone for the rest of the day. It kind of puts you in the right frame of mind that you're thinking more godly and more about Christ through your day than you are about everything that's waiting for you through the day.
When you do it.
Huh? When you do it.
Yeah. You know, one thing I struggle with, and I drive a lot, and I drive to work, and I've got Caleb on, and I've got family radio on, and I'm keeping that peaceful, and then someone just cuts me off, and it's so hard to, just keep that peaceful feeling.
Don't cut Brett off.
So right away you pray.
Or it doesn't have to be cutting off. I mean, just stupid.
So right away you pray for them and you ask that they be blessed down the road.
You got to, but man, yeah. The first thing that comes to you is like, don't say it.
Yeah. You know, hope that CHP officer will pull it just to keep them safe and protected.
Yeah. That's a, don't even wish for that. Everybody gets away with everything.
All right, I want to conclude with one final set of scriptures just to kind of set the tone. It's Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah, if we can do it, Isaiah. Chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. The Bible tells us, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. He is understanding. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Like Adriana said, it's renewed each morning.
Our grace, mercy, faith, and strength are renewed each morning. So those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The power of the Lord is what will sustain us. We need to rely on Him. So do you want the strength to keep your New Year's resolutions and to keep those things you want to do? Then turn to Christ and His Holy Spirit who are dwelling in you, and they'll give you the strength. Don't rely on yourself. Rely on the Lord. Any questions, your comments, or thoughts?
I have a comment, but you know, we always have comments. So.
That's okay.
So, I watched a movie, and it was about in the future where they took away the Holy Bible and replaced it with a counterfeit. And it gave me so much anxiety when I started watching the movie because I sat there and actually, you know, I get into the movie. So I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, what would that be like if I had to turn in my Bible? And then I just like thought, put myself there, and it was like going, oh my gosh, I need to memorize more. You know, I was panicked. And so, in that moment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what I want to just propose to everyone is just think about what that would mean to you if you had your Bible taken away and you could never read it again on this side of heaven. And, you know, it's just amazing how much that's a comfort, how much it's peace, and how much it connects you to our Heavenly Father. So if there's a resolution that anybody would want to do, and that is just to, you know, think the thought of not having this word available to you.
Yeah, I understand that would be pretty. And there are places in the world today where they don't have the Bible and they can't have it. And it reminds me of a story, which it's a little gross, but it was prisoners in a POW camp, and one of them was a Christian, and he didn't have a Bible, and he couldn't read it. But he happened to be the guy that was put in charge of latrine duty, cleaning out the latrines. And the enemy soldiers that were in charge of the camp, when they used it, they used pages of the Bible for toilet paper. So when he cleaned this out, he would save those pages. And that's what got him through 5 years of being a POW, was reading those, looking forward to those Bible verses every day from what he was doing. God provided him. And as far as you were talking about memorization, you know, sometimes it's really hard to memorize. I have trouble with memorizing too, but if you read it, the Lord says that He will bring to remembrance those things. So even if you can't memorize the scripture, the Lord will bring it to your memory and you'll go, oh yeah, I remember the Lord talking about that. And David in the Psalms, a lot of times you can read in the Psalms where he talked about, Lord, put your word in my heart. I want your word to be in my heart, so whenever I need your word, it's there. So thank you. That's a really good point. The more time we spend in the word and spend with the Lord, the more we're going to remember that and have that. We're going to be so filled with it in our heart that it's actually going to overflow into everybody else. I mean, if you take a cup and just start pouring it with water and fill it with water, eventually it's going to overflow somewhere. And if you keep filling yourself up with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with all the reading the Bible and His prayers and just filling yourself with Him over and over, eventually you're going to start overflowing. And where's it going to overflow to? The people you're around. They're going to get wet. Yeah, so. Anything else? All right, let's pray, and then were you going to do a song after the prayer, or you want to do it before?
Hey,
you know, you Jason, you can play until I do this. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message. And we just pray that our Savior Jesus Christ and your Holy Spirit dwelling within us lead us through the path of least resistance and let us follow your light. Let you be a light unto our feet and direct our path. And may we see your light and follow your light and follow your direction. And in this new year, let's strive to make ourselves new and fully, wholly devoted to you, relying on you, counting on you, and just resting assured on that promise that you do promise to renew your grace and mercy and strength with us each and every morning, that it'll never run out. And we know we can do all things through you. You'll give us the strength even when we feel like we don't have any more. You will give us more. You will be with us, carrying us through. We want to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, and give all the praise to your Son, Jesus Christ, for the work he's done on the cross for us. And may each step we take through this new year bring glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.